Hello and welcome to your Moment of Who. I'm Sue.
I'm Casey.
And we are excited and tired.
Yeah.
And, you know, my phone is ringing.
Of course it is.
So obviously we are going to be talking about the 50th anniversary special, The Day of the Doctor. Few super quick housekeeping things, and that is this Your Moment of Who is also this month's November's Anomaly Supplemental, because between Comic-Con and Thanksgiving and parties and all of the Doctor Who we've had to watch, we don't have time to do a second episode. So Pushing Daisies is being pushed, if you will, to January.
I see what you did.
Yeah.
And then next month will be our Christmas episode, which will be The Nightmare Before Christmas. Everything else is staying on schedule, with the exception of Pushing Daisies being this month.
Right, and we are going to get right into the Doctor Who stuff, because there has been so much of it.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
Hang on, just something I have to check.
We have had all of the stuff going on with Tumblr. We have had the Night of the Doctor minisode, the Last Day minisode, the Five-ish Doctors that Peter Davison wrote and directed, the Adventure in Space and Time documentary, or docudrama, rather.
Docudrama, yeah.
The deleted scene that came out afterwards. You watched this at Comic-Con. I was in a flash mob. There were tons of extra specials on well, at least for us, on BBC America, with the Science of Doctor Who, and they reran all the companion specials, and the story specials, and the In America specials. I basically haven't changed my channel from BBC America in, like, 2 weeks.
I don't have cable! But, yeah, there was just so much content for the last couple of weeks that it's just so hard to keep up with all of it. I've seen the minisodes. I've purposely stayed away from preview scenes and whatnot. I haven't been able to watch An Adventure in Space and Time yet because of Comic-Con, or the deleted scene because of Comic-Con, or the Five Doctors because of Comic-Con. Frankly, I'm amazed I have the energy to do this podcast.
I absolutely loved it. I consumed everything I could get my hands on. I was also not attending a con the same weekend. But it's just, I'm sort of conflicted. I love that it was all out there, that there was so much of it, but why wait until, you know, a week or 10 days before the event to start giving us this content? They could have been dragging us along for months.
They could have been, especially considering how long the hiatus was between the end of Season 7 to now.
Yeah. I'll just say quickly, An Adventure in Space and Time, if there's anybody listening who hasn't heard about this, it's the docudrama of how the series got started. The acting is phenomenal. The writing is phenomenal. I cried. And it's just, it also, like, gives you another peek into this history, to what is really a groundbreaking show in so many ways. So I recommend everyone, you know, when you get the chance, check this out, because it is certainly worth your time. But I think the thing that is also worth your time that pretty much made the internet explode was a little something called The Night of the Doctor.
Yeah, that was amazing. I think nobody was expecting that.
Because all everybody was talking about all day was Paul McGann.
Also, based on what I've seen of Paul McGann as his doctor, with the long kind of feathery hair, he looks much better with short hair. And I'm interested in seeing his doctor now. Really? We're going to blame it on
the early 90s? Yes.
I don't want to hear that. Tie-dye and overalls came back. Although, honestly, I want a pair of overalls. So we learn in the minisode that the Time War has gotten so bad that there are people around the galaxy who consider Time Lords basically on the same level as Daleks. So this girl that he's trying to save doesn't want anything to do with him and is perfectly willing to commit, perfectly willing to die instead of being saved by him.
I mean, we've been hearing about the Time War since the start of the new series, but I think this is the first glimpse that we really start to understand how bad it's supposed to be, how bad it is for the rest of the universe, that any participant in this war is looked on as just as bad as any other because of the destruction that it's causing. Mm-hmm. And then just the characters, just the Doctor's realization or resignation to realizing that he has to start to take part in this.
It was interesting seeing the Sisters of Karn because, again, I'm so behind on the old series, but I know that they were a part of it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were able to persuade him into being a part of this war. He says, I'm not going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a warrior. There's no place for doctors here now. And I'm like, this is going to be amazing. And I thought he was going to regenerate into old John Hurt, but instead he regenerated into younger John Hurt.
Right, which just goes to show you how long the War Doctor was fighting the war.
Mm-hmm.
He's been that doctor for a long time by the time the special starts.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it now for probably longer than the episode lasted. It was just so good.
It really was.
High praise. So since it was really a moment of who, and we're assuming that everyone has seen the episode, we are not going to summarize the 50th anniversary special.
Yeah, that just seems silly.
Then let's start at the beginning.
That's a very good place to start.
I glanced over it very quickly, but you were watching this in the simulcast at Austin Comic Con.
Yes.
How many people were in that room?
A lot.
I would assume it was probably one of the biggest ballrooms they had available to them.
Yeah, of course. It followed the fan event, and the screening followed James Marsters' panel.
Wow.
And I would say that there weren't even that many people at the James Marsters panel. Like, I have a feeling that it was pretty full up, the simulcast.
I was co-hosting a party. It was a smaller, obviously, party. There were about 7 of us. And I can tell you, there was screaming when the original titles appeared on that screen.
Yeah, that was fun to see. Everyone was so excited when they heard the original theme song play and the original titles. Mm-hmm. Everyone was cheering and hollering. It was so exciting. I don't think I've had an experience like that since seeing the Avengers.
It's like
about a year ago.
Your heart rate immediately goes up. It was so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then right from the beginning, it's the I Am Foreman Yard at 76 Totters Lane, where the first Doctor had the TARDIS. And Clara is now a teacher at the Coal Hill School, and Ian Chesterton is the headmaster.
Huh.
I like I said, I've watched this 4 times now. Just all the little things. I did not pick up on this, but someone mentioned it to me. When Clara drives under the clock to go to the TARDIS, mm-hmm. the time on the clock is 5:16 p.m., which is apparently the broadcast time of the very first episode.
Really?
Yes.
Man, I wish I had done the same note-making things you did.
Only because I've been watched it so much already.
I did go to a con.
Yeah,
I'm
busy.
I'm con-zausted.
So just all of that packed into the first few minutes. Some of it that I picked up on my first viewing, and some of it I found out later. But that was just great.
Mm-hmm. Also, I like the fact that Clara drives a motorcycle now. I've always wanted to see one of the companions driving a motorcycle.
I was surprised that the TARDIS doors opened for her, that she was able to snap them closed. So the mm-hmm. TARDIS likes her now?
She must. I mean, there's no other way to go about it. I think it's because of the weird, once she went into the Doctor's separate time streams, once that became a point in history, I think the TARDIS may be okay with her now.
Well, that was the weird thing that started the episode for me.
Yeah, me too.
Because we left them in the Doctor's time stream, and then suddenly we're in a school room. So, I mean, I'm based on the preview for the Christmas special, we are going back to Trenzalore for the Christmas special.
I have not seen the preview for the Christmas special.
Oh, it was at the end of the episode. It was, you know, just Silence Will Fall, Trenzalore, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that this is sort of out of sequence, at least from the Doctor's perspective.
It must be.
So the TARDIS starts to like Clara after the events that occur at Trenzalore, but...
But wait, I don't know how the Christmas episode is going to play out. Anyway, because 11 is regenerating in the Christmas episode, they can't still be on Trenzalore when he regenerates. That would be silly. The writing of this episode was really good, though. Like, the dialogue was perfect pitch. The plot was pretty interesting. I was less interested in the Zygon subplot, but, you know, the overall idea that the Hurt Doctor is struggling with destroying his planet, that was beautiful. Yeah. That was beautifully done.
I thought the Zygon thing was interesting, but it felt unresolved to me. I know that the Doctor says, you know, you're going to create the most perfect treaty of all time, but they never show them letting them out of that room. And if that's the wrap-up for that, they've created the perfect treaty, what was the deal with the scene with the two Osgoods with the inhaler? So I feel like there has to be more to that as well. And that whole character, the Osgood is the name that they gave the Doctor girl, who is basically a Doctor fangirl.
Yeah.
What? Basically, I still don't know who she is. I still don't know why she adores the Doctor. I'm assuming that the curator, which is another thing we need to talk about, gave her that scarf, which I did love when Matt Smith said, "Nice scarf." I squealed.
Yeah, it was great. I didn't know her name was Osgood. I guess I missed that part. I was very excited. I thought she was cute. I mean, it's hard to fit in other characters in a 1 hour to an hour and 15 minute time slot.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I wouldn't mind seeing her again. I think it would be fun. The painting stuff was great. All of them.
That was so cool. Especially when she says, how are they doing that? And that's when we finally see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. But not just that. I also mean, you know, the traditional painting with Queen Elizabeth I. And the 10th Doctor.
That was ridiculous.
That was awesome.
I did love that they addressed what happened there. Both 10 and 11 have been referencing Good Queen Bess several times. And we finally see the story. That was great.
Yeah. The first time we see her in the Shakespeare Code, we don't know why she doesn't like him. Mm-hmm. But now, I totally get it.
What did you think of Clara? I feel like Clara was a different character.
I feel like it took way too long to find her character, and now that they did, it's better. You know?
I saw some shades of Donna in her.
I can see that, yeah.
Especially when they're walking into the gallery. You don't have a job.
I liked it when 11 was just like, it's the witch in the well, and she was like, woo, I'm the witch, off your pot.
I was very nervous about her through most of the season when we finally met actual Clara, but if she's gonna have this sort of like confidence and sass from now on, I'm down. Let's go.
Yeah. I love Clara more when she has sass, because she always came off as a sassy character, from Asylum of the Daleks to her quirky, sassy self in The Snowman.
Right.
And we lost that a little bit in Season 7B. So if this is what it's going to be like with Capaldi, if she could just put the old man in his place, then by all means,
Oh, man.
Let her go that way.
That could be great.
And it was also good to finally see what the war on Gallifrey looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Because they always hinted at it and the horribleness of it, at least the Ninth Doctor through the Tenth Doctor, but they kind of didn't really touch on it with 11 because he was trying to quote-unquote move on. But finally seeing the damage was done, even for a kid's show, that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, I was watching it, and when it got to the point where the family of Gallifreyans were being threatened, and you see those kids, and I'm like, I don't want them to die!
I mean, it's the opposite end of the spectrum emotionally, but I adored 10 and 11 together.
Me too.
Every shared look, every wink, I loved every bit of it. I mean, yes, I started with the new series, as did you.
Uh-huh.
So maybe, you know, maybe classic fans didn't love that as much, but I was certainly a fan of it.
Yeah, I was a fan of it too. I didn't realize how much I missed David Tennant's quirkiness until he showed up again. And also, I had a conversation with Stephanie, who went to the con with us, and we were talking about the difference between Matt Smith and David Tennant, and we both love Tennant because he portrays humor incredibly well, and he can play that so great. But the dark and the angsty is also something he's really, really good at. Mm-hmm. So it was exciting to see that. And also the device that goes ding.
Oh, I loved it.
But instead of saying it, it just goes ding! Ding!
He also downloads comics from the future. Like, what? I love you.
And because of the Zygon thing, he keeps putting down Elizabeth by accident.
Oh, so funny. Well, and then timey-wimey. I have no idea where he picks that stuff up. That was so great.
And of course, the part we've all seen in previous, oh, you redecorated. I don't like it. And then he just makes this face.
Which, of course, was what Eleven says to Craig.
Mm-hmm.
But was also in the Five Doctors special.
Right.
Which, more and more references. I love it.
And also Hurt with Tennant and Smith.
Oh, that was so great. Even that one.
Yes!
He was, I mean, they're definitely picking on the fact that he's the youngest so far, but he really was just like the insulted little kid. You really thought he was going to stomp his foot and go play in the corner, and it was so great.
I just like John Hurt looking at the two of them, which like, am I having a midlife crisis? Because this is not okay.
What else did they do? The name, that's the promise. They tell you what the promise is. That's mm-hmm. that's farther towards the end. The vortex manipulator, even though John Barrowman was not in the episode, Captain Jack did get a shout-out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the companions up on the board in the Black Archive.
Right.
Just, it made my heart happy.
It made my heart happy, too.
Then, what did you think of Billy Piper's role?
Oh, she was so good. I love it when she basically plays a superpower. Whether it's the moment or Bad Wolf, she's just a badass. And I love her.
Her accent was different.
Well, technically she was Bad Wolf. Right. Or the moment. Me.
But I have to say, I was actually quite glad that she was not Rose Tyler. I don't know. I'm sort of thrilled that she was there, and it made sense for her to be there, but it wasn't a continuation of the Ten Rose love story.
Yeah, technically that's finished, and I appreciate that they left that untouched. For a while, when I heard that she was going to be in it, I thought for some strange reason the parallel universe was going to break down again, and I thought, well, it would explain why Ten aged, but at the same time, that seems way too easy for Moffat to play with.
But based on what 10 says is going on. He says he's 904. Mm-hmm. And in the end of time, he says he's 906. And also in the end of time, he shows up and he says that since the Ood last saw him, he got married. Boy, that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. So from Ten's perspective, these events take place some time between the waters of Mars and the end of time.
Right.
So it's after all of the Rose stuff and all of the Martha stuff and all of the Donna stuff. It's on his farewell tour, if you will. Are you laughing or crying?
Both. Also, the time travel-y bits, like 11 scratching the thing into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Just all of those things, giving a call from the future and into the past and all of that. All the time travel-y bits were really, really good.
Yeah. So they said that the time streams were out of sync, and that's why Hurt and Tennant aren't going to remember, but 11 will. But if they're not going to remember the events that happened, why did their sonic screwdrivers, quote-unquote, remember? Why did John Hurt scanning the sonic make it continue to calculate for Tennant and Smith if the events aren't in sync and aren't going to sync up in their timelines? How can that work when their memories don't?
Yeah, wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
And along those same lines, how do they get the message back to the first Doctor to start working on these calculations if he's been working on it all his lives?
I don't know.
I mean, these are things that are not really important, but they're what my brain wants to know.
I totally understand. It just gets to a point when you're watching Moffat stuff. And also, Russell T. Actually, any point in Doctor Who, you just have to let it go. She's like, I give up. I can't. I just can't. I'm just going to enjoy it.
Oh, I'm not at all upset about it. But that's just, I want to know more.
No,
what I do.
No, I get it. I understand wanting to know more. I'm just saying that I would have a headache every day.
And then, well, I mean, how great was it to see Tom Baker?
Yeah, that was great.
The oldest living Doctor. But then,
yeah.
What was this business about revisiting old favorites? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Maybe when in my future headcanon, when Capaldi is awarded more regenerations, that's a thing
mm-hmm.
that he can do by some superpower? I don't know.
People really want a Tennant back, that's all I'm saying.
However, they communicated to the First Doctor to start working on these calculations,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter, because when they all showed up on those screens, oh man, I was crying.
I was too excited to cry. I think my mouth was ajar, and I was like, and then Capaldi showed up, and I was like,
well, yeah, I mean, I was already crying from the point where the moment says to John Hurt that wherever the TARDIS engine sounds go, they bring hope to all who hear. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, how true is that?
Yeah.
But that's when the tears started. And then they intensified when the other Doctor showed up. And then Capaldi, no, not all 12, all 13, I think I yelled. I think I screamed.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
It was so, so amazing. Just that moment. And that moment is making the rounds on Tumblr.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow, yeah. But going back a little bit, it was also one of the things Stephen Moffat has mentioned in interviews and about writing The Day of the Doctor was exploring how different you are as you grow up, because you look at John Hurt's Doctor, and then you look at Tennant, and then you look at Matt Smith, and Stephen Moffat said, you know, if my younger self met my older self now, he would be like, what? This is what's going to happen to me? Oh, crap.
I thought I'd be so much more mature by now.
Because Tennant remembers so much about the Time War, and he's still very much traumatized by it. He's shocked by the fact that 11 just chooses not to acknowledge it at all.
The interesting part about that, though, is that Clara later says to John Hurt that 11 talks about it every day. So around the other two doctors, he's trying to act like he moved on.
Mm-hmm.
But Clara sort of punches a hole in that notion. She says, yeah. he talks about this every day. He's definitely not moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it was really beautiful when she must have told them, you know, where he disappeared to. And even though they had both said they regretted it and they wish they hadn't done what they did or what he did, or I don't know whether it's singular or plural, they both show up to make sure that it still happens. So they realize at some point that it really was what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just lovely.
Yeah. And then it all sorts itself out in the end.
Right. I was really angry for a little
me
bit.
Me too!
I was so angry.
I know.
That I thought, like, Moffat was going to somehow invalidate all of the new series up to that point.
Like,
and then as soon as John Hurt was like, I'm not going to remember this, am I? I had this huge sigh of relief.
Me too! I remember when they were talking about their super-duper plan, and I was like, isn't that going to change the course of history?
Yeah.
Isn't that going to change everything to the point where none of this has ever happened, including the 10th Doctor, including Tennant's Doctor,
yeah,
and the 9th Doctor? Yeah. And it's like,
I mean, he said he was going to change the entire course of the show. So
yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking, so are we going to start over and see a new 9? Like, is that what he means by changing the entire course of the show? I was upset to the point of, like, getting sick before that resolved itself.
But then I remembered, okay, but Matt Smith is going to be in the Christmas episode. So if he negated that part of history, this part of history would never have happened.
Right.
So how is this going to sort itself out? And I was just getting so frustrated by all of that. And then, so when Hurt said, so I'm going to think that I did this awful thing, I was like, oh, good. You are going to be traumatized. You're going to feel awful about everything.
Oh, man. And then he steps back into the TARDIS and he starts to regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess wearing a bit thin is what the first doctor said before he regenerated. Which, again, I love that. But they started to superimpose Chris Eccleston's eyes over John Hurt. And I said out loud, was Chris Eccleston a dirty, dirty liar? But then, of course, it cut before the actual transformation and the entire room was disappointed. But I was really, really excited for a while.
Yeah, I was hoping that Chris Eccleston would have been a dirty, dirty liar.
But I mean, I'm just happy they used some of his stock footage for the war scene. But which again got a scream from a room full of Tennant fangirls.
Yeah. Well, 9 is just that step to 10.
You know what? I and most of the people that I spent Saturday with, although we claim Tennant as our doctor, everybody has a really big appreciation for 9.
I think
9 was necessary.
Yeah, I think 9 was good. I think 9 was a good doctor to start out with, especially considering the time war. But at the same time, as an actor who has seen other actors perform roles that they didn't really like, it was just very obvious to me that Chris Eccleston was really enjoying his job at the time. And I was grateful for the fact that he recognized that he needed to move on. Because then it made way for Tennant, who is my doctor. And if he hadn't left, I would never have had Tennant. So I'm grateful for both Chris Eccleston and 9.
Yes. And then, of course, David Tennant, or 10, says to 11, good to know my future is in safe hands, which is just super, super sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what the first doctor says to the fifth doctor in the 5 doctors.
Right. And I love the bits where David Tennant says, for once, I just want to know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Smith says, trust me, you don't. Because, you know, Trenzalore apparently is very scary for them.
Yeah.
It's a finite end.
He doesn't want to go.
Stop it!
That was so great. He always says that. That was so great.
Oh no. Like, I still get teary when I think about that moment. So when that happened in Day of the Doctor, I made a sad face and then I flipped a bird towards the screen. And then when Matt Smith said he always says that, mm-hmm. I flipped another bird. So we got a double deuce.
I thought that was really funny.
I admit it was humorous, but I was just, but at the same time, the other half of me was just like, don't mock my pain.
The William Hartnell character also says that before he leaves the TARDIS the last time in the docudrama. Mm-hmm. He says, I don't want to go. It's so funny. It has become funny for me. I'm sorry, it still pains you. But right after that happens, in comes the curator.
I know!
Which I'm seeing only written with a capital T and a capital C.
That rhymes with pool.
No, but I mean, like, clearly everyone is treating that as a Time Lord name, which I love this fandom.
Yeah.
That's part of why. I'm really upset, though, that the curator did not offer the Doctor a jelly baby.
I think that would have been a little much.
I ate a lot of jelly babies on Saturday. But anyway, that whole scene between the two of them was just really lovely. Really beautiful, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because for a lot of people, Tom Baker is, apart from Tennant and Tom Baker are the most popular doctors.
Honestly, I'm not sure that Tennant is that far ahead of Matt Smith, if he even is far ahead of Matt Smith in terms of the new series. Smith is very big, especially among the newer fans, and the popularity is growing so quickly that a mm-hmm. lot of people are Matt Smith people. But, I mean, certainly when you say Doctor Who to somebody, I think the majority of people picture the Fourth Doctor. They picture Tom Baker.
Mm-hmm. It was good to see Tom Baker. It really was. And then when you find out that Gallifrey, that it worked, and and the picture is entitled Gallifrey Falls No More, and that he's going home.
That was so great. So I mean, that we know for a fact, right, unless we're being mm-hmm. lied to again, that the mm-hmm. regeneration happens in the Christmas episode. So...
Right.
So it has to be the 12th Doctor's mission to find Gallifrey. Because, I mean, this curator, who by all implications, is a future regeneration of the Doctor, is basically stating for a fact that Gallifrey is still out there. It leads me to believe mm-hmm. that it was found. I love Moffat and I hate Moffat all at the same time. You know?
Yeah, a lot of people share your feelings.
Yeah.
Lots of people share your feelings.
All the people. I should clarify. I don't hate Stephen Moffat. He makes me nervous because I don't think he has the boundaries that other people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any other show, probably even any other showrunner, that part where I was super angry and nervous about did he just rewrite all of history, I would know that anyone else in any other show, I wouldn't have to worry about it. They would come out of it, they would fix mm-hmm. it, and the past would stay the past. With Moffat, right. I truly believed that he would have done that and gone back, and Capaldi would be the new Ninth Doctor.
Yeah.
Or Tenth Doctor, if you will.
I think the numbering should still remain the same, and I'm just going to call the John Hurt's Doctor the Hurt Doctor.
Well, yeah.
Because that is just too confusing.
Even so, basically restarting the new series with Capaldi, I would believe that he would do that to me.
Yeah, and in a way he would have been negating my fandom, and that's not okay.
Right, exactly.
But... that being said, the episode he came up with was really well polished. Of course, there are going to be flaws in everything. Nothing can be perfect. But it was a great tribute. And that's what it turned out to be.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't have 50 years worth of fandom.
Oh, no.
But I also am not a never look back on the old series kind of person. I try and do my due diligence, you know. But I feel that this was really well done and just a really excellent tribute to this show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that whole final speech where he's going home, I mean, punch me in the gut. I feel like there are loose threads that I mentioned, but who knows, maybe the Trenzalore plotline on Christmas will somehow also tell us that the Zygons were let out of the archive room. Who knows? Maybe they'll just let Zygons be Zygons.
So what else about the 50th anniversary really impressed you?
You know, the fandom really impressed me.
Yeah.
Everybody was excited. I have heard no one that I personally know complaining about this episode, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen a couple people, you know, gripe in passing on the internet, but nobody's saying anything specific, and I'm just ignoring them, because you just want to be grumpy, yeah, in my opinion. But the Whovians were just really excited. There was the flash mob in Central Park, which I will put in the show notes. It's kind of a hot mess, but it was fun and hilarious. But then people just stuck around and took pictures and talked to each other. And, like, there was immediate... It was almost like a con whenever you ran into anybody. It was immediate camaraderie with people because of this shared interest. This party that I was co-hosting, several of these people had never met before. And, you know, by the end of the night, it was, we should all get together and do science fiction nerdy stuff more often. And now there are already plans for, like, an outing to The Hobbit 2 in December. It was like, it just was community. It was a community around a show that has been running for 50 years, which is crazy town.
Yeah. And I got to see a side of that with a completely different fandom this weekend, which was Star Trek and Star Wars with Jen, Angela, Rico, our entire group. And they were having fun and bonding over that. And Star Trek has been around for, you know, not quite 50 years, but close to. But, you know, the Doctor Who fandom, it just comes in all shapes and sizes. I saw older fans at the simulcast, and I saw a lot of kids, like a lot of 10-year-olds, dressed up as the 10th Doctor, the 11th Doctor.
I mean, Star Trek is my first love in fandom, but the thing about Doctor Who is that, in a way, it's the same story that has been continuing all this time. Star Trek has had 5 different series and several different movies and different crews, but Doctor Who is still technically one character that has been on for 50 years. And it's super cheesy. But really, that line that Billy Piper had, that the sound, the groaning, the wheezing that brings hope to anyone who hears it, they don't just mean in the universe of the show. Mm-hmm. At least not to me. You know, it means the fans. These fans are amazing.
Yeah.
And I, like, it makes me teary-eyed.
Yeah, it makes me so happy. Oh, but going back to a silly moment when the doctors figure out their solution and the Hurt and John Hurt says, "Bad wolf girl, I could kiss you."
Oh. Did you notice that for that very one moment where Tennant says, "Did you say bad wolf?" his hair was not sad anymore.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing, because they cut to him and his hair is like normal Tennant hair, and they cut away and then they come back and then it's flattened to the side again. We started calling him a cockatiel. Just, oh, funny.
Well, his character is a lot like a cockatiel.
He also high-fived the TARDIS.
Yes!
Which was hilarious.
Oh, I missed him so much.
And the scene with the rabbit. I mean, that was just classic. And you are basically just a rabbit, aren't you?
When he put on the fez!
I mean, it's just, it's, he doesn't even question. He's just like, oh, yeah, fez? Okay. Time to wear the fez.
So, is there anything else about the 50th?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I don't want to just go through the plot.
I don't think there's any more plot to really go through. I mean...
Yeah. Oh, except for the one scene that basically summarizes the entire show. Just they're in the cell, and Matt Smith is saying, you know, whatever we are, we're really clever. We're especially clever. And then Clara comes in because the door is unlocked. I mean, just, that is the show. That's it.
Just like...
That's the show. So we have asked the Anomaly community for their comments. Reggie writes, "Greetings, Sue and Casey. Writing in about Doctor Who and this awesome event that was 50 years in the making. Just got back from seeing the 50th anniversary special in 3D. I held off seeing it on Saturday since I was going to see it in theaters. I was blown away at how many people were there. The Day of the Doctor was shown on 4 sold-out screens with another showing at 10:30, and everyone was having the same conversation. Who's your doctor? How do you get into it? Truly a cool experience. The Day of the Doctor was everything I'd hoped it was going to be and more. It was an extremely fun and well-written story. I'm glad the writers found that perfect balance of nodding to the history of Doctor Who without being overbearing about it. Simple things like a well-placed scarf or a phrase like spoilers pulled right at your heartstrings. Seeing Billy Piper and David Tennant again was wonderful. And the cameo with Tom Baker, my doctor, had everyone clapping. The time travel is why I've come to love Doctor Who. Best use of retcon ever. Gallifrey wasn't destroyed. It just appeared that way. And because it was all timey-wimey, the doctor forgot. Brilliant. I didn't want it to end. Tennant got me again when he said I don't want to go, because I didn't want him to go either. Doctor Who has always been my favorite sci-fi franchise. Doctor Who is smart sci-fi. It's commendable how everyone involved continually makes such great stories. Over 50 years, many people have come to build this universe that is simply amazing. What I've loved most is how they do so much with so little. The Daleks, for instance. It's amazing that they have made trash cans with plungers on wheels one of the most menacing forces in the universe. With so many different villains, companions, and doctors, it's a universe that continues to evolve. I hope it sticks around for another 50. Michelle writes, "Just wanted to share some thoughts on my Doctor Who 50th experience. Leading up to the day, I tried to avoid all spoilers, but of course I knew some details, mainly the guest stars. However, I had no idea what was in store, and that built up plenty of excitement and a little expectation as to what was laying in wait. Secondly, I was scheduled to go on vacation the week before the trip, but plans changed, and I would be away the week before the anniversary, and would in fact be flying back to NYC the next day. This made me hesitate for a few hours before finalizing my ticket. I was really anxious about it, actually. But then we realized we would be back early the next day, and it was sure to re-air or be on demand. We sadly did not have the DVR. That evening after, Sunday night, we adjusted back to life at home and then took a deep breath and jumped in. I was sad that I had missed the simulcast worldwide and felt like I missed some of the magic, but the episode was so massive and complicated and just fun that I quickly forgot about it and just tried to follow what was really going on. In the end, the episode was more than I ever bargained for, and especially made me happy that I went back and watched old Who episodes so that I was able to quickly understand the end within moments, and as the curator is one of my favorites, I was really happy and teared up a little. Overall, I loved that each doctor was involved, recalled, and evoked in a great and epic way. I do wish I could have been there the day of and been able to watch with fellow Whovians. But I think it will just ensure that for upcoming episodes we will hit the local Doctor Who bar in Brooklyn and seek out fellow Whovians who we already know for party watching. I hope everyone else loved and enjoyed the episode as much as I did. P.S. This episode made me realize that Matt Smith does a great job, and although it took me a long time to appreciate that, I see and understand why he is much loved by a lot of people. I am sad that his turn is over. Now we have to get used to someone else. P.P.S. We need an episode explaining things, because I got my timelines confused this episode, and have some questions and thoughts. Cheers, Alan Z, Geronimo, and Gallifrey Falls No More." Hey, this is the Jim who is related to no one and lives in Chicago. I absolutely loved the 50th anniversary special. It was everything I wanted it to be. The interactions between 10 and 11 were amazing, as was their loathing for John Hurt's doctor. Bad Wolf Rose as the weapon was incredible. Billy Piper acted the hell out of those scenes and was more threatening than I ever thought she could be. The conclusion, with all 13 doctors, was like the best elements of RTD with the tight setup I expected from the Moff. Also, the final redemption of the doctor was a powerful moment. I have much more verbose thoughts here, and he links to his Tumblr, which is scifanatics.tumblr.com, which I'll also link in the show notes. But wouldn't want to bog you down.
I agree with everything. Actually, he has a good point about the best elements of RTD with the tight setup from Moff. Because, honestly, sometimes I think they should be showrunners together, like Moffat is with Mark Gatiss on Sherlock.
I feel like they balance each other out, yeah.
Yeah, I think Stephen Moffat has great ideas, and so does Russell T. Davies, but they also have elements that would work so well together rather than one person running the show. Sometimes that's just the best way to go about it. Unless you're Vince Gilligan on Breaking Bad, because that was phenomenal. Phenomenazing. It's going to be really interesting to see how Capaldi comes into play and what they're going to do with the season.
I mean, his mission has to be to find Gallifrey.
I mean, it has to be, but at the same time, I'm wondering if he's going to be... Because we've seen doctors who are funny with a dark side, but I'm wondering if he's going to go dark with a funny side or continue the trend of funny with a dark side.
I want him to be snarky.
I don't know about snarky. Because I've seen...
Well, yeah, snark can come off as mean. And the doctor can't be mean, really.
Yeah. There's snarky that you can do every now and then. Like, 10 can be snarky. 9 can be snarky, for sure. But with Capaldi, because, you know, he's known for taking on so many sarcastic roles, he also just has a face that also makes it look like he means it. I think that maybe it would be more fun to see him take it a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
I liked him in Fires of Pompeii. I thought he was adorable. He was a cute Roman dad. Oh, I see brother and sister. I see it now. Really?
Yeah. Did you know that We're Not a Couple thing only happened 4 times in that season? It seems like it happened so much more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't watch all of Donna again in 2 days. What?
No.
The world record that was awarded was for the largest ever simulcast of a TV drama.
Oh, okay.
And it was broadcast in 94 countries across 6 continents all at the same time. The whole, like, what's the word I want? Hype around this, the idea of a global celebration. Like, you can call it cheesy, but I definitely got caught up in it.
Mm-hmm. I did too. Like, I don't know. I think you're missing a little bit of it if you're not celebrating the day of, because it's Doctor Who's birthday, basically.
It's interesting because I think not all, but certainly a lot of geeks identify as introverts, and the whole global celebration thing is definitely a social aspect. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's a little bit counterintuitive, but I can tell you the group I was with, almost everyone there would classify themselves as an introvert. And like I said, everybody was immediately, it was like we were all immediately best friends.
Yeah. So, did we basically cover everything?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to add other than saying again how much we loved everything.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it again when I get the time. Because it's Thanksgiving week, and who has... And after going to a con, I don't have time for that.
So, in our show notes, we will link to both minisodes. We'll link to the Five-ish Doctors, little sort of, I guess, featurette is the way to call it, or is what to call it. I believe right now you can watch the anniversary special online, but only for a few more days.
Mm-hmm.
But I will try and find places that make sense to link for An Adventure in Space and Time and the special itself. We'll link to the deleted scene. I'll post the best video / only video I found so far of the flash mob. And how about some pictures from the con and from the my party?
Yeah, I can post some pictures of what few pictures I took from the con, because seriously, my phone, that convention center was like a vampire, and it was feeding on my phone.
Cons eat batteries, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, pictures of me as the 10th Doctor, and
I'll post my Doctor cookies.
Yes. Those cookies were cute. My goodness.
That took so long to do. But I did it, and that's
you
good.
You did. I think Jen and Rico took photos of me next to a TARDIS and a cardboard cutout of 10. So
excellent.
I'll see if I can get that up there.
Well, we can post like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And then send people to Facebook.
Right.
From there. So that'll work.
Yeah, yay. Lots of con pictures are going on to the Facebook group now, so if you're not already a part of that, go see it.
And I guess to even though we did some housekeeping in the beginning, I'll do it again here. Next Anomaly Supplemental is Nightmare Before Christmas, around the Christmas time. January will be Pushing Daisies, and next Moment of Who will also be around the Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And then we get to fangirl some more, and hopefully Casey won't be as tired.
I hope not. I hope I did okay today, considering. So yeah, lots of fangirling coming up with the Moment of Who. And also in February, I think we're talking about doing a Sherlock recap. So thank you for listening to this Moment of Who. Go watch the 50th anniversary special again and enjoy your Thanksgiving holidays.
Happy Thanksgiving, kids.
Happy Hooniversary.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I do not strike you as a geek.
If you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or if you like hearing the sound of your own voice, like I do, you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-GEEK. Yes, it's one of those numbers that you can use alphabets on, and that's 248-419-4335. To stay up to date with Anomaly and Anomaly Supplemental news, you can follow them on Twitter at Anomaly Podcast. That's the at symbol, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly Supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y-podcast.com. Theme music is used by permission of Marion Call. Thank you, Marion. Find out more at mariancall.com. Or, of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Marion Call. That's MarianCall. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Say that three times fast.
The world is much too interesting to entertain ennui, and I won't ever play it cool, so I won't ever once be bored. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard that Kevin Spawny was the latest fashion trend. And I still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic, because I don't require approval in the end.
And he said, how was the con? And I said, it was great. The Day of the Doctor was fantastic. And he went, whoa, whoa, whoa. The Day of the Doctor was yesterday.
Oh, no.